He grew up on the south side of Houston, but now calls Summerlin, Nevada home. The only sports handicapper in the country to go a documented 14-0 against the spread in the NFL playoffs. With over two decades of experience, he's the go-to sports bettor expert in Houston. He's live from Vegas, but his heart is always in H-Town. The premier wagering consultant in the country. Your favorite sports bettor's favorite sports bettor. This is The Wagering World with 5-Star in Vegas. Presented by MyBookie.ag, America's most trusted sports book.
What's good, Wagering World? It's your boy 5-Star in Vegas, broadcasting live from Summerlin, Nevada. But my heart is always in Houston, Texas. This is The Wagering World, powered by MyBookie.ag. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag. I'm in here with the youngest man to ever manage and operate a casino sportsbook on the Vegas Strip. I call him the boy wonder of sports betting, my brother from another, the super producer of this show, my dog, Cino Royale.
Wow. What's good, 5-Star? What's up, Wagering World?
What you do?
First show of the new year. Happy New Year to everybody, by the
way.
We're going to make this one a great one, the Wagering World. We're going to win some money. Keep it doing what we do. 5-Star.
What up? No, Washington. Hey, we going head to head on this one. You know, I got that plus 1800. Anybody who follows me on X, they know that I gave out Washington money line over Texas. Soon as they put out the numbers, soon as they released the college football playoffs, and I jumped on them early in the season. I just think the Kalen DeBoer is too nice, but we'll get to that later on. We talk about the present, man. Right now, as you said, hey, 2024 is here. It started out really well for me, man, because I'm like 18-3 in my last 21 plays. We've been really tearing it up, man. We got a little group that I started seeing, as you know, the DM crew. Shout out to DM crew. They've been bringing that good energy, man, because what I've noticed is I'd give out all these free plays. And you know, anything that we put out free, so you know, we really playing it. So I'm hammering it. I got 10K on it or so. And, man, I was not getting results. Everything was really sour, man, when I posted to the public. I said, let me reach out to all the guys who really support me, all the guys who've been listening since 97.5 on the bench, all the guys who, you know, always are riding with me, man. And I got that crew together, and I came up with a brand new way where I just, you know, DM all of these guys what we're going to ride with for the free play, get my pro bono work in, man, where I'm giving back and not just taking, man. And, I don't want to base this on, like, everyone that I deal with, you have to pay me in order to win. That's why we go so in-depth on this show and try to give out all these winners. But, hey, if you miss the information, if I'm tweeting it for free and I'm talking about it for free on the station, now I got to charge you because that's on you. So a lot of stuff that I give away, if you guys just pay attention, it's always right there. I came back last week, actually, and retweeted so many different things that I called this year on futures for guys to take advantage of that a lot of people didn't. So now you come to the point where now you got to join the Supreme Clientele. The Supreme Clientele gets more plays. They get about 5 to 7 plays a day. But now you got to pay to play, man. And that's just how it goes, man. A lot of interesting things going on right now. College football season. We got the finalists now. It's a great semifinal games just passed. We'll talk about that a little bit in the past in a minute. But boy, what about Russell Wilson's? Cino, what's your opinion on Sean Payton, Russell Wilson situation in Denver?
All right, 5-Star, I'm gonna keep it simple as this. Like, you know, that's two grown men, so and you know, like, a job is in place, and Russell got benched. Like, he really set Russell Wilson on the bench, and he's saying for performance reasons. We both know that it has something to do with the contract. So I really feel like Sean Payton and the Broncos organization, they bullying Russell Wilson because they don't want to pay him all that money. Like, no matter what happens on the team or not, they have to pay him that money. And I understand why, you know, they're doing what they're doing. But, you know, you said you was going to give it to him. Give it to the man. He's performing as best as he can with what he can.
He is. He is. And I remember several games this year that the Broncos were literally dead and Russell Wilson was able to pull a rabbit out the hat. But none of that matters. Sean Payton is a demon, just simple as that. Like, we already know, like, he doesn't have any type of common sense or reasoning when it comes to, or put it like this, I'm not gonna say common sense or reason, he has plenty of that. He doesn't have any diplomacy when it comes to you know, business. He's just gonna, you know, do the cutthroat way of things, and you know, whatever he feels is right that benefits him the most is what he's going to concentrate on. That's what he's going to try to accomplish. When he came in, he tanked. You know, I've been talking about this all season. See, you know, he did an onside kick on the first play of the game to try to make them lose to the Raiders. Like, he never had any intentions this year of helping Russell Wilson be successful. He was embarrassed by that time when they got the 69 or 70 points hung on them by, I think, the Dolphins. And after that, he wanted to win some games for his own legacy. This has always been, he already identified this team that the problem was the Russell Wilson contract. And he was going to do whatever it takes to get out of that Russell Wilson contract by any means necessary. And now, if Russ is smart, he'll just, you know, see the process through. They've signed a contract that they will not be able to get out of. A lot of it is guaranteed. He'll get paid. They'll take a cap hit. But overall, Sean Payton just didn't want Russell Wilson as his quarterback. Never did. He doesn't like him. He doesn't like his approach to life. You know, he doesn't like that he's a religious man. It's all, you know, trying to do things right and be politically correct all the time. So he had his eyes on Caleb Williams, you know. He's a funny boy. They like that. So they want to get Caleb Williams, you know, in the driver's seat because he thinks that that quarterback can take them to different heights. So I think that Sean Payton will be focused this draft on trying to find a way to get Caleb Williams to be a Bronco and to get off the Russell Wilson's contract. And Russell Wilson, if he's smart, he'll stick to his guns, get his money from Denver, and then go sign another contract with Atlanta. And the reason why I say I'd go to Atlanta, I know a lot of people are saying the Steelers. That Steelers would be excellent for him because Mike Tomlin, as we know, he's a magician. Just imagine if he had Russell Wilson over there with the type of team that he has, the things that Russ could do, the type of leadership he would bring, it would be phenomenal along with Mike Tomlin. But if that doesn't work out, I would love personally for to see him go to play for the Falcons. For one reason and one reason only, it'll be the ultimate chess move against Future. Because now Future would have to root for him because Future's a diehard Falcons fan. That's how you clap back at someone who's dealing with your wife. Better baby dad.
Hey, you're a cold piece, five star. Like, that would be right. Like, imagine, think about it. Russ wouldn't even be able to play good football because I'm sure there'll be so much Future being blasted down there in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So, he needs to worry about getting his money first. He's guaranteed $39 million five star 2024, whether he plays football or not.
All
on that team. And another $37 million is guaranteed. Like, five stars.
Need all
that. You know,
he's
walking cash machine right now. So I'm with him, man. Bench me if you want. I'm not signing no contracts. I'm not changing nothing. I'm going to go play football where I'm wanted at. And I'm a winner. I got a Super Bowl under my belt. Shout out, yep. Pete Carroll. And I love to do it somewhere else.
Yeah, it's funny you said that. I did a Better Life this week with Damon, and we kind of spoke briefly about my Russell Wilson to Atlanta theory, and he said basically the same thing, man. Talk about the A really loves Future, man. They gonna blast his music all day, but I don't think that Russ would want them type of problems anyway. He's not that type of dude. He's a peaceful guy, but hey, you never know. He did stand up for himself against Sean Payton, and I'm proud of him for that, man. Another thing we was just discussing was we noticed that some of these betting companies on X that we follow and watch lately have a real lack of black people on there. Like, what happened to all of the black sports handicappers? The, you know, Jay Money's, the Hakeem Profits, you know, where are they at now? I'm just wondering this because I used to turtle all of these different sites that, you know, we've been betting this a long time. So, you know, we've been following all of these little sites the last decade, man. And you know, it just was really refreshing that lately we were getting more brothers involved. But I guess in 2024, they said, well, you know, we're going back to how it was in 1954. Like, it's literally no representation in the sports betting media world right now, man. And that's a problem to me, Sino.
A5 star. I already know how you feel out of all people, especially you, like, about, you know, topics and situations like that, and how far our people have came. If you know, but you to even have your own show, man, and to be handling business how you do, like, that's a real, real big thing. And Five Star, it's weird nowadays, and it's strange, and yeah. I don't want to say the wrong thing, but it is what it is. You know, I speak how I feel. Like,
speak the truth.
Nowadays, Five Star, they taking out the men, man, and they putting in the women. Like, what's going on, man? Yeah. Like it's. Hey, shout out to the women. I love my women. I love the black queens. Never get that confused. But it's just not right. You know what's going on today in the world, and I'm gonna speak it how it is. You know, fact always gonna be a fact. Five Star, that's why we on here. We do it for the culture, man. We do it for the culture, and that's
every time.
You know, with the production side, the way we come off, the articulation, everything is for the culture. So not many could relate, Five Star, not many understand, and that's why I salute you so much, you know, just for
appreciate putting that
platform out there the way you do, and still at a high, consistent rate with, you know, great information. And
yep.
The most important thing all, Five Star, you 100 and you winning, my brother. As simple as
that's right. I mean, one of my favorite shirts that I owned before was a shirt that Ralph Lauren made that said, "I am America." And I've always prided myself on being exactly what that shirt said. I feel like I am America. I'm a black brother from the South, but I'm friends with all types of people. I got friends, as you know, from all races and colors and creeds. Some of my best friends in my circle are, you know, white guys from Philadelphia, white guys from Sacramento, Indian guys from Houston, you know, Pakistani guys from Houston, brothers from Atlanta, brothers from Louisiana, Asian friends that I know from California. I'm friends with everybody, man. Like, we're all Americans, we're all one. Where my problem comes about is that I have to still represent my people no matter where I go and where life may take me. The reason why is because I know the things that my people endure and what they go through on a daily basis to try to get heard, to try to get a fair shake at things. And it's very easy to sell out and just, you know, go with the flow and be the guy that, you know, is pretty much a puppet, and you can get in positions where they can say, "Hey, at least we got one over here." But I'm never going to be that guy. I'm always, you know, carry the flag for the real ones out there, and the real people, and the people that I grew up around. You know, I couldn't be anything but that. And, you know, the main thing that I try to always be about is fairness, man, and equality, and on whatever stage or whatever part of my life that I'm in. And it's just not fair, a lot of things that we find out here. Well, people say, okay, then, well, if it's not fair, go start your own. Go buy your own. Then you run into another form of racism, because now if I'm trying to buy an NFL team so that I can make it where it's more black coaches to work for me, guess what's going to happen? the owners are not going to allow me. They're not going to vote to allow me to get in their group. So it's like, it's no escaping this. So I try to do on everything, every platform that I have, make sure that I don't forget the people who made me and the people I grew up around. I think that by doing that, I couldn't be more real to the people that are from other races that know me, by being an authentic black man from Louisiana and Houston, man. That's who I am. That's who I will be. I'm not trying to be anyone else, and I represent for that. So it really upsets me when I see that my work's good, or my friend's works are good, or someone that I know, another brother, is doing really good work. Because all we want to be held on is by the work that we produce, the job that we do. We don't care about you personally liking us. We just care about, you know, getting what we deserve for what we put in, you know, the work that we put in. It makes me really upset when I see a lot of brothers getting, you know, asked from these companies, denied from these companies, and they had the highest bid percentages on these shows. They were the most successful, so they had the biggest followings on these shows. So why would these shows let all these brothers go this season? That's what I want to know. And the only thing that I could think of is one thing only, because you don't have any reason in the numbers. You know what I mean? So I said something back on X a few months ago about when I went to the Bit Bash event in Las Vegas, the circuit, and how I didn't see men of our kind there. I didn't see many people represented. And that really inspired me to get on really going hard on doing the show and taking it past YouTube, getting on the radio airwaves, and hopefully getting it on the airwaves one day and on your TVs at home, is because it's very important that the brothers who are out here every day making bets, out here studying right now, who listen to the show and trying to make some shake, know that they have one of their own up here doing it, and doing it at a big level. Because it always helps us of any kind, any race, to see some of your own, man. That's why it's very important to have diversity in situations, so that a person that's ready to give up knows that if they see someone in that position that they hope to get to one day, that they still have a chance, man. So that's why we're going to always keep it thorough. We're going to always keep it who we are. We're going to always keep it real right here on the Waves of World. But we're for everyone. You know, this is love for everyone. For, I don't care what your religion is, what your race is. The only thing I care about is you come here, enjoy the show. We give you good information and bring it to our world, the Waves of World. All right, Cino. With that said, man, it's time to hop into the slab. Let's jump in that slab, man. We're going to go to the 87 Park Ave on them Swangers, man, with that pop top, you know what I'm saying, pop trunk, let neon the trunk with a wave and saying the Waves of World and take them to the past.
Like I said, five star for the culture, the Swangers and stuff like that, sitting sideways. Hey, we're speaking of that, man, Michael Penix Jr., man, he a victory away from the perfect ending for Washington, man. He can hold it. You called that game right, five star, man. You had the Huskies money line, and you had them with the points down there in the All-State Sugar Bowl against Texas. What you seen in that game? What you think he gonna do? He continue to keep up this energy, this momentum, moving forward.
Yeah, I do, man. That was a really good game. It's so fun. I only sent out the Washington play. Usually I do my little client list before each game, and I only sent it out to one individual in my group, because it's funny, because I'm seriously like maybe like 10 of the guys that I deal with, man, and that's in the client base got ties to the University of Texas in some form. They might got a kid go there. They used to be, you know, they're an alumni, or they root for the team. So I did not want to put the bad juju on myself. So none of those guys got the bid. But if you guys follow me on X, I always tell you, turn on your notifications. As soon as they put out the four teams and they put out the lines, I told everyone, jump on the money line with Washington against Texas. Caleb DeBoer is a great coach. He could coach on Sundays if he chose to. He really knows what he's doing, man. And he's going to put them in positions to win. Michael Penix is a big-time quarterback. We talked about it on the bench this morning with John and Lance. And the first thing that they asked me was, do you think that he deserved a Heisman? I said, well, it's going to end up working out better for him. Like we spoke about on the show several times before, sometimes, you know, winning that Heisman isn't everything. Sometimes losing it is better, because it gives you the motivation to show the world, you know, that I'm the best player in the country. And I think that's what Michael Penix is on right now. He throws from 430 yards, slices and dices Texas. And, man, Rome Odunze, this kid is from right down the street. I saw him play next door to my house in Summerlin when I lived right by Bishop Gorman. And I went over there a couple times and watched that kid play, and watched Zachariah Branch play. When I say they got some really talented skill guys over at Bishop Gorman, this kid, Rome Odunze, is about to be a star in the NFL. He's 6'3", a ball hog, and he really makes that offense go outside of Penix. He opens up everything, man. The kid runs like a 4'3". He's always open. He always making big plays, and I still don't see how Michigan is going to be able to stop this Washington offense. I know they have a great pass rush, but I think that this is a little different. Everyone's been underrating Washington all year. I got a ticket on them plus 1,800 that's burning in my pocket right now to win the national championship, because it's just that this thing is all about past pedigree, past reputation. No one wants to accept Washington as being the best team in the country this year, but they've showed it week after week that they have been. Texas, great effort. Steve Sarkisian, like, he gave up a little bit. When they were talking to him before the fourth quarter, he looked a little bit down, and that's one of the reasons I faded Texas. I like Sark. He's a really good play caller, but I don't know if he's a leader of men. The Longhorns come up just short. Quinn Ewers had a chance to win that game. He had a Donnie Mitchell one-on-one in the corner. He threw a bad ball. All I had to do was hit the stop route and his touchdown, a walk-off touchdown for the Longhorns, and an unbelievable comeback in the fourth quarter. But they come up short, and the best team all around wins in Washington. We got to see how Dylan Johnson, the great running back for Washington, is moving forward. But just a great game overall.
Hey, and I saved this one for last. I did it on purpose. And all I can say is the Wolverines are going to Houston.
H-time,
nah,
man.
The Wolverines, they going to H-time for the culture, man. Hey, sir. Five star.
Yes.
Right? Come back at the end. Old St. Nick, Christmas was last year. Look, hey, Melrose disappeared. Couldn't take the pass rush. Michigan, like I said, all the way. But five star, we get into that later on. What you seen in this Alabama-Michigan game that made the Wolverines, you know, roll over the Rolling Tide?
You remember you came to my house that morning, and at the door, what's the last thing I told you? We was walking out the door. You on the right side. Michigan gonna win tonight. I told you that. Because long as I can see the market, I can tell you exactly what's about to happen. And Michigan pulled it out. That's how we kind of started the DM crew that I was telling you about. Everyone was DMing me, texting, tweeting at me, asking about who was I taking for the national championship. Because, you know, we didn't do a show last week. Sorry about that, guys. Like I said, man, I had to lock in. My son was in town, holidays. And I needed to make some money. I was like, I can't be doing no playing right now, giving out these games, getting this bad juju on my bitch right now. These are some real big money situations going on, and that time off has worked really well because we've been winning at a crazy rate. We're back to what I'm used to doing and the numbers that we used to seeing. And I needed that small little break, so I apologize for that. But I did use that time to, you know, really dig in my stats and find some advantages, and I started the DM crew and shared what to play for this game, and everybody won with me on the first half, over 22 or over 22 and a half. Me and Cino talked about it before it went off. I told him it was too sunny of a day. You know, everybody was going to be playing well. The kickers were going to be able to make their kicks with the weather, and it worked out perfectly and landed right on the 23-4, so we were able to catch that. That really made me happy. Second half, I had Michigan as well, because I told you that morning I was going to take them. So I took a parlay, Michigan money line, Washington money line together for a little small amount, but ended up playing pretty well. I took second half Bama plus one. I had to, man. They're down three. They've been playing really well. It's, even if Michigan wins, now I can win all of the tickets. Of course, they go to overtime. Boy, I was cursing up a storm when they went to overtime, because I would have much rather won either one, because it was a pretty big bet that I put on the second half on Alabama that pretty much equaled the same amount that I would have won on that Washington money line parlay with the Michigan money line. So ended up working out the same, but I didn't make a profit like I wanted to. I kind of, you know, broke even. But, man, that overtime really killed everybody who was back at Bama, and this is one that old St. Nick is going to have to deal with for a long time, because I really don't know how they lost that game. I don't know how it got out of control on them in the fourth quarter, like, and big fourth down conversion by the Wolverines, man, is what was the game changer in that fourth quarter. I think they were on their own, like, 40-yard line when they went for it, and they make it, and they get the momentum going, get some big plays from Blake Corum, who's a hell of a running back. I can't wait to see him on the next level with the right team. I'd love to see him. He's another one. It's crazy. Every running back that's good and fast, I want to see him with the Ravens, because I know the Ravens are going to get the best out of him, you know. But him and Trevion Henderson would look good behind the Ravens offensive line. And, I mean, Jason McClellan for Alabama looked pretty explosive as well. Milrow has a ways to go. You know, we began the season talking about he was the weakness. It's just an amazing job by Nick Saban, even getting his team in this position. And I know that Kirby Smart was somewhere really ticked off, because I think the Georgia beats Michigan in this game pretty handily. We saw how they unleashed on Florida State. That was my biggest bet of the season. We talked about it. I gave that one out too as soon as they released it. I told everyone who follows me on X, and I said it on the show as well, that I will be loading up, that was a give me with that minus 21 with Kirby against Florida State without a quarterback, and they ran roughshod all over them. I mean, what, they put up 70 points on them or something, 63, but I knew that he'd want to show the world that Georgia deserved to have a chance to defend this national championship. And honestly, Georgia was a better team this year than Alabama. Alabama won the last game, but they weren't going to allow Georgia to do this again, the same thing they did the year before, and that's take an L in the SEC championship game and still get a shot at the national championship. So things work out in favor of Michigan, and maybe, like you said, maybe, you know, the laws of the universe are picking Michigan for it to be their year, because a lot of stuff is happening in their favor, and it's all just for at the end of the year for Jim Harbaugh to go to the NFL, get a team to Sharon Moore. He'll be the first black coach at University of Michigan ever. And later on for them to come take back all of their titles, the conference title and the national championship, because they were cheating.
Hey, I'm finally glad you can see it, man. Good luck to Michael Penix and the Washington Huskies, because y'all gonna need it. Because the Wolverines, they have the help of the referees and everybody else. So I think at the end, like I said, I'm sticking with it. They'll be the national champs. But, man, the Alabama team, they five-star. They really stood a chance. They, like, I don't know. I'm like you. How did the game get away? I remember looking at the end play line. I seen Michigan plus 6.5. I'm like, oh, man, there's no way they're coming back. I stopped watching, to be honest. Then I got a notification on my phone. Something about overtime. I was like, oh, we got a chance. I know what's about to happen. And just, sure enough, it stinks. Yeah, it happened. It sure did.
Yeah, Alabama, they really gave that one away. I just don't like the game plan that their offensive coordinator, Tommy Reese, had. Jalen Milroe running the ball 21 times, I don't like that. And they even went out with that as the last play, man. You're going to run a quarterback draw into the strength of Michigan's defense, which is the defensive line, on the money play of the game, your whole season on the line. Now, I'm going to get my quarterback on the edge. He has wheels. I'm going to give him the opportunity to either throw the ball or to run it in. Alabama, I would not be surprised if Jalen Milroe ends up taking the same route as who I kind of comp him to in college, and that's Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts had to leave Alabama, go somewhere else, and go to a team that was really pass-happy to kind of learn the passing game. And I think that would benefit him a lot, because with those receivers that Alabama has, I really think that they need a different type of quarterback, and they need a guy that can distribute like how Tua was. And that's when you'll see their offense really hit its heights. You got Isaiah Bond out there. This guy's going to be a real speedster in the NFL. You got Jermaine Burton, who has a chance to be a wide receiver one for a team. And these guys were literally non-existent. They both had 4 catches apiece, less than 50 yards in receiving. And these are 2 of the best wide receivers in the country. You know that Alabama is one of the best developers of wideouts in the country. So I think that Milroe would serve himself best if he did a transfer. And I think that Alabama would serve itself best for the following season if they decided to go with a more point guard type of quarterback. But very entertaining game. We'll get to the present in the next segment and really break down Michigan versus Washington out in H-Town. All right, so, you know, we're up against one, man. When we come back, we're going to break down for you guys the national championship game, not only for the FBS, but also for the FCS. You know, we love to show love to the small schools, too. Take us out, Ceno.
Checkerboard luggage, Raymond in the cupboard. I left Art Bowser with a sculpture. You're listening to the lyrical nunchuck, chuckle at dumb vocals warmed up, beyond four tough. I kept my lawn cut, it's felon conduct. I got my arm out the window of an armed truck. This Teamster Union, when you hear the trucks roll up. On Cleveland Avenue, made plays at the Kroger. Came up on cold cuts, heart got a hole in it. Bank got a roll in it. The Cessna Citation came with a pole in it. The Cullinan so big it need a stove in it. Now that's deep, I just dove in it. The closet came with garage doors. The gold yard is on all fours. I do this shit on course. I did it this shit turn for. They said I'm wrong for it. I'm so fly, looked at and said get on board. It's the man, it's the myth. In the midst of the mix with the M's on my mind. In Maui taking pics, motivated by more. That mean I want more of this, I want more jewelry, more cars, I want more cribs. What you expect from a kid that grew up with his stomach touching his rib? Echoes coming from out the fridge. Now Papa was a Rolling Stone, I thought you knew that. Don't smoke no cig, but I shoot that. True fact.
All right, we're back in the Waves World as always. Beautiful Summerlin, Nevada. Hey, man, it's gorgeous out there today. I'm talking about absolutely beautiful. A little chilly, but can't complain about the views, man. We're looking at these green golf courses, man. These palm trees are swaying. Got these red mountains. Of course, I'm in here with my guy, the youngest guy to ever run a casino sports book on the Las Vegas Strip, my dog, Casino Royale.
Wah! What's up, Wagering World? We back at it. No spider monkeys today, man, unfortunately. They terrorizing giving my little girl hell. I get a break, but I did enjoy it for the new year, man. We were all out on the strip right there in front of MGM, posted on the boulevard, enjoying ourselves.
Yeah, I saw you posted that. We were on the strip too. As I told you, my son Noah was still in town, so my wife and I decided to take him on his first big boy version of Las Vegas. We kind of hung out that night, watched the fireworks at Caesars. I posted a video of him and I together, and then we went down to Fountain Blue for a little bit and had a really good time over there at the new Blue Bar they got over there. I'm kind of upset and ticked off though about that bar, because the original Blue Bar in Miami was really, really dope, and what made it so dope is because the floors were really blue, like, and they were like a blue light, and if you like step, they were kind of like, you know, kind of like light up, but the whole floor was like blue. And it was beautiful, but they didn't put that in there. But besides that, Fountain Blue is absolutely a gorgeous hotel. I really, really like it there. You know what else is gorgeous? Getting paid. And that's what you're going to do at MyBookie.ag, man. As a better, you demand perfection, and MyBookie delivers. NFL, college football, college basketball, NBA, and a brand new cash out system gives you options to bet and win all season long. Did the first two legs of your parlay hit? Y'all know what I do. Cash out early, because oatmeal always beats no meal. You can use those funds for another bet, or you can have some gumption about yourself and let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Join the MyBookie family for an entire season filled with odds boost, free bets, and super contests to get started. Go to MyBookie.ag right now. NBA is in full swing. We got March Madness right around the corner. Go open up an account, and when you open that account, use my promo code. That's 5-STAR, FIVESTAR, spell it out. That's 5-STAR. We're going to give you a welcome bonus on the house. Give us that promo code, 5-STAR. We're going to match any deposit that you have up to $1,000. So if you deposit $50, we'll match with $50. You deposit $100, we'll match with $100, $500. We're going to give you $500. You put a can there, we're going to give you a whole free $1,000. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with mybookie.ag. And don't forget to put the promo 5-STAR. All right, man, we're going to bring in early. Usually we wait to the last segment, but we had to get in my guy Spread in here early today, man. The OG of the Waging World. He's been with me since the start. The only Sacramento Kings fan that I know. What's good, Spread of Style?
5-STAR, I am excited. We got week 18 of the NFL, and then, of course, the national championship will be decided on Monday night.
Yes, it will be. Hey, man, let's be where we are at right now, where our feet are at, man. Let's jump right into the present, Sino.
All right, 5-STAR, let's do it. Man, let's take it down to the FCS national championship. We got the defending champ, South Dakota State. They facing Montana, 5-STAR. 12.5 points, that's a lot, man. What's your input on this one? And if I had to guess, I kind of think I know where you'd be going. That's a nice number for you.
If you know anything about me, like you do, one of the people who know me the longest in this game, man, you know I love points, man. Give me those points. Give me all that you can give. And you got two teams who are really close in really, you know, the same type of team, bro. They play the same type of way, and that's they're going to play defense first. They're going to run the ball. They're going to be smart with it. South Dakota State is the defending national champions. Really good team. The quarterback, Gronkowski, I believe how you say. Is he the Gronkowski or Gronkowski? This kid can play, real strong leader. South Dakota State has been really a defensive juggernaut all year. They've only given up 9.71 points per game, which is outstanding. They have a pro running back in Isaiah Davis. He's going to play on Sundays. Electric, but Montana's really strong against the run, man. They only allow 3.35 yards per carry, which was top in the country. So this is going to be a slugfest like all of these games always are. It's probably going to be cold in Frisco, and might get a little ice. Usually we do for this game, because as you and I know, the Dallas region gets really cold this time of year. But those points are just too much to give up. You got McDowell from down our way. He was the quarterback actually for Louisiana Lafayette before joining Montana. And I think that him and Bobby Hawker have a plan together that'll keep them close in this game. Montana has some really good wide receivers. I just cannot give up 12.5 points. I actually be playing Montana on the money line strictly off of the head-to-head. I know they haven't played since I think 2019, but it means something when you see one helmet that you've had some success against and a jersey that you've had success against. South Dakota State is 0-8 all time against Montana. So I will be on Montana plus 600. But here for the Wagering World fans, the safe guys, and for your insurance, take the 12.5. Ring the alarm.
Ring the alarm.
All right, y'all heard 5-star with that one. The money line plus 600. I'll sprinkle a little bit on that one. But I'm definitely going to roll with you with the 12.5, 5 stars only, right? I do so. But we got the big game, the game everybody been waiting for right here, 5-star. And this your chance to shine again once, my man. And I definitely know where you're going to be. And, you know, all the listeners know they what side you're on. But the books and myself, 4.5 points in a championship game, a possession. A possession and a half if you want to count the field goal. With 5-star, what you think going to happen? -4.5, +4.5. Better yet, I got my boy Spread on here with me. Hey, Spread, what you think about this game, man? For we let 5-star get into it in a little bit. What you think about this one? I like Michigan. I love the 4.5. I've been riding Michigan since the beginning, since I seen all the, you know, the story and the cheating, the suspensions, and all the other, you know, weird things that's been taking place. And I'm going to continue to ride them. So what's your input, Spread? What you think about this game right here and the Wolverines versus the Huskies?
I could see why you like Michigan. In yards per game, they're the number 2 defense this season. They're also number 1 in scoring defense this year, averaging only 10.2 points per game given up. They have not anything that's 6 or more, they've covered all year. Their smallest margin of victory this season was 6 points against Ohio State. So not only are they winning, they're covering quite often. However, if you want to look at Washington and make a case for them, you're going to argue that this is the best passing defense that Michigan has gone up against this year. Washington averaging the most yards per game passing of any team in the nation. The difference will be, is Michael Penix going to be good enough? Because I think that Michigan can take away the run game. If this gets one-dimensional, will Penix and that great group of wide receivers be able to get things done?
All right, that's some valuable information, Spread. Hey, and I'm glad to see we're on the right, we're on the same side, because you never know it's the right side until you know it's the end of the game, but I feel it's the right side. But 5-star, you can give us your input on why you like Washington so much.
You know, I do this every time, and you guys never listen. I told you all year long about this Washington team, about how important Caleb DeBoer and Michael Penix are. They're on a different level. If you have a quarterback that can put the ball where the coach wants it put, and a coach that knows how to draw up the plays to get guys open, they're unstoppable. And Michigan has been a really dominant defense, but I want everyone who's thinking about backing Michigan to go look at their schedule. I want you to look at the quarterbacks that they've played this season. I kind of did this last year when Kansas City played the Eagles, and everybody thought the Eagles were so dominant, and they didn't go and look who they played, who were they dominant against. Michigan has not played one top quarterback all season. Jalen Milroe is half a quarterback and put 27 up on him. McCord for Ohio State, he's transferring because he sucks so bad that they don't even want him there anymore. And he was able to put up 24 points against that Michigan defense. If you look along the line of everyone they played, these are 2-star, 1-star guys that they played all season, guys, in the Big Ten. They have not played any passing teams. Ohio State is usually a team with a better passing game, but not this season. They weren't good. And no one that they played this season has been able to present the type of challenges that Washington's going to present on offense. This game might not even be close, man. J.J. McCarthy does not have the bullets in his holster to keep shooting with Michael Penix. Good offense always beats good defense in 2024. Washington, money line, plus 160. You heard it right here. Stamped by five-star in Vegas, man. Ring the bell, ring the alarm, shoot the cannon, fire the guns, let off the fireworks.
Oh, my God. Oh, man, you about to make me go in the treasure chest for all these sound effects, man. Yeah, five-star. So, hey, let's do something different, man. I think this game will be a great one. Fireworks, fireworks. Let's do some team totals, man. We was having casual conversation earlier, and you said something that stood out to me, so I think we can give it to the people. We have the Washington Huskies. They sitting at 24.5 as a team for the total, and we have the Michigan Wolverines. They're sitting at 30.5 for the team as a total. Oh, that kind of makes my head itch with the spread being 4.5, but that's a whole nother conversation. But five star, what's your input on this? What you think, over or under for your Washington Huskies?
That total's laughable. I'll be all on it. I'm not a big team total guy. Just those type of things aren't things that come to my mind first when I look at games. I'm always a side guy. So, you know, of course, the plus 165 stood out, but now that you bring that up and bring that to my attention, I will be playing that as well. There's no way that Michigan holds this offense on a fast surface like we're going to have in Houston. Hopefully the weather be okay. If it's not, I know that they can close the dome, so I think they'll probably have the dome closed. I just think that Washington is an elite offense, and as I said, man, Michigan has not seen anything like them. Do yourself a favor before you run to the window, bet Michigan, and go look at the offenses that have been on Michigan's schedule and look at the quarterbacks they faced.
Hey, I don't know. 30.5, that's a lot for the Wolverines. Washington might get blasted. And four touchdowns, five star? Like, that should be easy for Michael Penix them to do, but I don't know, the Bucks though, they don't agree. So we'll see where it goes from there. But spread, what you think? Any input on either team total? Over, under?
No.
All right, most definitely, man. So five star, you gonna take us out, my brother?
Yes, sir. So you guys got the plays. I know that's what you lock in for, man. We're gonna go with Montana plus 12.5, and we're also gonna roll with Washington plus 4.5. I feel really good about both of those games. I'm gonna be really strong on Washington. As I said, listen to me now, believe me later on. All right, man. After the break, we'll be back with Spread to talk some NFL. We got some big games coming on this week. We got, you know, the playoffs about to start. It's a lot of teams in the mix. And right here in Houston, we got a big game, not only with the national championship here, but our Texans are traveling to Indianapolis for the game of the week on Saturday. When it's a win and you're in, lose and go home situation. Very excited to talk about that with Spread. After the break, send us out, Cino.
Gussin' at the Mando. You get the jury real metal like a candle. Bleak. I went from rad to riches to a feature with tip. I went from smart car to a flip with some smart lips. And that if it need make my hip limp. I'm going fishing with these little bitty strip dips. And my bankroll kind of big dip. Woo. She gon' bring it on a big ship. Quite trail, no quick trip. I got dubs in the alley, no tip. Yeah. Woo. And she ain't wanna have a good day. Smoke way more weed than the guy in LA. I hold them birds till next May.
All right, we're back in the wagering world. Final segment today. We're going to keep it to three, man. We want to get you guys the information to get on up out of here. Everybody got things to do, like get these clients their wagers. So, Spread, what we got on the NFL this week?
All right, let's start at the top. The Pittsburgh Steelers will be the first game of the week. They are in Baltimore. They're taking on the Ravens. Baltimore has absolutely nothing to play for, and the Steelers need to win. They're going to need a little help as well, but they definitely need to win to stay alive. The books have adjusted accordingly. Earlier this week, the Steelers were laying 4. Right now, I'm seeing Baltimore plus 3.5. right now I lean towards taking the Ravens, but with the uncertainty around how many Ravens will actually play, I think it's tough to get involved. How are you approaching this one?
Actually, most of the listeners right now probably already know my play on this one. I gave this one out on Thursday on the bench. I took the Steelers -4, and it's solely based on the fact that I don't expect Harbaugh to put a lot of effort into this one. You only get a few chances, man, in your career to win a Super Bowl. He's getting a chance this year to really make a run. Why would he risk, you know, losing one of his main guys, one of their big contributors? I don't expect anyone to play on that defense that really matters. I don't expect anyone to play on that offense that really matters this week. I think they kind of waved the white flag. I don't think Harbaugh and Tomlin are big enemies. I don't think that the franchises hate each other like that. I think it's a healthy respect between the two. So I don't think that they give much of a fight. I think that the Steelers have all the motivation in this one. They have all the momentum. Mason Rudolph is really playing well. They are averaging 32 points a game in their last two. George Pickens is finally starting to show why he's compared to Antonio Brown. Isn't just because he's a head case, but also because of the talent. You got Jaylen Warren, who's brought some real juice to that Steelers running game. And then, of course, T.J. Watt, man. This is a big game for them. T.J. Watt is leading the league again in sacks. He's tied as a league leader with 17. I know that he's going to be trying to get that record again as he prepares for his post-career in Canton like his older brother. You got star safety Minka Fitzpatrick. He may be out. He didn't practice this week, but a game of this magnitude, I think that he'll tough it out and still play. If the teams were all equal and everybody was playing, I'd still like the Steelers. Probably not at that number because we know it would probably be inverse. It probably would have been the Ravens plus -4, excuse me. But, man, Pittsburgh has had a lot of success in Baltimore as well, spread. They're won six of the last seven matchups against the Ravens. They've won their last three games in Baltimore, and they're 7-3 against the spread against the Ravens in the last 10 matchups. Give me the Steelers -4.
All right, you mentioned it earlier, but the biggest game on Saturday, of course, is the Houston Texans traveling to Indianapolis to face the Colts. This line is flipped. It opened with the Texans catching points. Now the Texans are laying 1 point. I believe that's on the strength of the quarterback advantage that the Texans will enjoy with C.J. Stroud being much better than Gardner Minshew. But I've underrated the Colts all season. They've been pretty good at home. This is a de facto playoff game. Whoever wins will qualify for the playoffs and could potentially win the AFC South if Jacksonville were to lose. What are your thoughts on this one when Houston travels to Indianapolis?
I was speaking about this one on ESPN 97.5 radio as well. And, man, this one I'm going to just watch as a fan, spread, because the public is all on the Texans. 92% of the tickets right now are on Texans -1, and 76% of the money line tickets. They're in a bad situation with that, which means they're not going to get a lot of calls. But we've seen it before. When you're a real good team, what's the saying? Good teams win, great teams cover. Watched it last week, was 78% of the tickets were on them when they were facing Texas. And we know how big Texas money is, and it didn't stop anything, because if a team wants to win and they came to play, they're going to beat the books and they're going to beat the team. So if the Texans are the real deal, they'll get it done, but they might as well get used to this, because C.J. Stroud is a really good player. Everyone is aware of him now. He's a fan favorite. He's going to be probably the face of the league over the next couple of years, at least one of them. So he's going to always have a lot of public betting on him the rest of the way. So the Texans are going to have to get used to having to beat their opponents and beat Vegas. But that makes it, for me as a person who bets sports, is I'm going to just watch it because I'm also a fan of the Texans and I want to see them win. Interesting fact is that the Texans were 201 to win the Super Bowl before the season. They were tied with the Cardinals as the worst odds to win this thing. And literally nobody saw their potential playoff run coming. They'd only be the fifth team to make the playoffs with 200 to 1 odds since 1978, and the NFL went to a 16-game schedule. So that would be a really pretty big deal right there for that team. And I think that those guys can get it done, but I will not be making a play on it.
The Dallas Cowboys will be in Washington taking on the Commanders. The Cowboys need to win this game in order to secure that number two seed and the NFC East championship. The line reflects it The Cowboys are laying 13 points. I know everyone thinks this is a slam dunk for Dallas. I would say don't count out Washington here. These guys have a lot of pride. They have a lot to play for. I haven't gotten involved in this game, but I would think people are going to think Cowboys are an easy bet. I would say not so fast. What do you think?
They're not an easy bet at all. I'll be on Washington for sure with the points in this one. This is a rival game. We've seen this scenario happen so many times before. This can't be the first time that I can remember in my lifetime that the Cowboys had to beat the Redskins the last game of the year to get in the playoffs or win the division. And every time it's a scrap, and a lot of times the Redskins have won. It's who's going to be the starting quarterback? I'd feel really confident betting Washington if I knew that what's his name was going to be the quarterback. Jacoby Brissett was going to be the quarterback.
It's Sam Howell.
Now, that's the problem. Because you don't know which Sam Howell you're going to get. Sometimes you can get Sam Howell who's throwing these darts from everywhere, because I watched him in college, and he was like a baby Drew Brees with a little bit more mobility. He's very accurate, but he's going through the bumps and bruises that you're going to go through being an NFL rookie quarterback. He's put up some numbers, but he is turnover prone because he's kind of loose with the ball. I'd rather trust Jacoby Brissett in this situation, but still, just 13 points in a rivalry game is just too many points for me. I got to go with Washington plus the points.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have a chance to win the NFC South. All they have to do is beat the team with the worst record in the league, the Carolina Panthers. However, you talk, these are all rivalry games this week. These teams know each other well. The Buccaneers are laying 4.5 points on the road. Is that too many points, five-star?
No, they're going to mow the Panthers. Baker Mayfield played horrible. Don't get me wrong, the Carolina defense can stir it up. If they can get some pressure on him, then he might turn over the ball. But I just don't see Bryce Young doing enough. But now, mind you, Bryce was shut out last week. Does he step up this week, show everybody at home that they have the number one pick, and put up some points? That could very much happen. But in a one-possession spread, I got to go with a team that's clearly the better team. So I'll be looking for Tampa Bay to win, even though I don't need them to win. I'd much rather them lose so the Saints can win the division. But, hey, I'm a better. I'm not a fool.
I was going to say, so if Tampa were to lose, the winner of the Atlanta-New Orleans game would become the winner of the NFC South and grab that playoff berth. Bettors are liking the Saints. The Saints keep taking money at home against the fickle Falcons, that I like to call them, because I can never get them right. Do you think the Saints -3 is a good bet?
Yeah, the Saints should mold them. I think they got their mojo back. They got a little bit more healthy last week. They always go to Tampa Bay and play really well, but they also play pretty good against Atlanta at home as well. Last game of the season, Dennis Allen's playing for his job. We'll know a lot about how the teams how the team comes out to play. If they want Dennis Allen fired, we'll see a really lackluster effort. But I mean, the Falcons just aren't that good offensively. Defensively, they're great, but they have quarterback issues. Until Arthur Smith gets a quarterback that he can trust, that team's going to be, you know, mediocre. I think Arthur Smith is a really good coach, and I think in the offseason he'll be really shopping hard to try to get someone there. He cannot believe in Ridder. I know he's trying to speak like he does, but Ridder's going to be a backup for them. Heineke will be gone. I'd like Russell Wilson there. I've been telling everybody it'd be the ultimate chess move if you know that Russell Wilson has issues with Future. They always got some little subliminal beefs going on, and you know that that's his wife's baby dad. But Future's like the biggest Falcons fan. He loves the Atlanta Falcons. He's born and raised in Atlanta. So if Russell Wilson goes sign with the Falcons and be a real menace and make Future root for him.
And that wouldn't be a bad spot for him. I think he'd fit in well. And
interesting.
Steelers probably even a better fit, but it's a much tougher division.
Yeah, true.
You go to that NFC South.
Yep, you're right.
Yeah. This game is so interesting from a wagering perspective. The Philadelphia Eagles are laying 5 against the New York Giants. But if the Cowboys are playing at the same time, and if the Cowboys win, then this Eagles game is meaningless. So I haven't done this, but I know people that are saying, well, I'm going to take the Giants +5. The idea being, if Philly looks up and it's 21-0 at halftime, none of the starters are going to go back on the field, because Dallas win renders this game meaningless. I'm fine staying away from this game, but I do understand that as an interesting angle. to approach this. Not to mention the Giants almost beat the Eagles a couple weeks ago. So even without that motivation in there, you can also argue that the Giants have the personnel to play this current Eagles team tough. What do you think of this one?
I'll probably be on the Eagles just the first half if I was going to wager on this game. I think that they'll start with their starters. Jalen Hurts and those guys had a really bad showing last week against Arizona. The game ended really funky for them. It's actually been a funky last month for the Eagles. Nick Sirianni is losing a lot of favor after he was the favorite son of Philly for the longest. Now a lot of the, you know, how quickly the fans in Philadelphia turn against you. So they're against him. They want to talk about they want him fired and all that, which is crazy because he just got there and went to the Super Bowl last year. But it's some things going on. I keep telling people that the things that are going on between A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts that people are putting in the quote-unquote friend zone are really guys who don't like each other, and they're pretending to like each other in order to get along for their jobs. I don't think that they're the same type of person. Jalen Hurts is a real laid-back dude, let things come to him, works hard, and stays quiet with his head down. A.J. Brown is the typical star wide receiver that we've seen a lot of. And that's the guys who like to, you know, be loud mouths and, you know, they kind of pout when they don't get the ball and they're divas. And I don't think that Jalen Hurts like that. I think he's more in line with the type of receiver that the guy on the other side is from Louisiana, Smith, you know, from Alabama. I just think that there's some internal issues with this Eagles team this year. And it's really going to be a hard fall from grace for them to fall from being favorites to win the whole thing to now that they're going to be a wild card team, because I expect Dallas to win against Washington. They may not cover, but I expect them to win. So very interesting playoff run coming up for the Eagles. Who would they play right now, Spread? Because they'd be on the road as a wild card team.
They would play the winner of the NFC South. So most likely Tampa Bay. Potentially New Orleans or Atlanta.
And you know what? That's funny because I would be all on the Eagles if that happened, because that would be Jalen Hurts' chance to get some get back. Remember his first year in the playoffs, he lost to Brady and the Bucs in Tampa Bay and didn't play well. So I think he would play outstanding in that game. So, yeah, I'd probably be on the Eagles on the next one if they went to Tampa Bay.
All right. This one's fairly easy from the playoff scenarios. The Green Bay Packers need to beat the Chicago Bears, and they're in. The Packers have done so well against Chicago as of late, well, for a long, long time. So the Bears have multiple motivations here. First thing is, Justin Fields, if he wants to stay with the team, and there's rising sentiment that maybe that will be the place, he needs a good performance here, and they need to get the win. Another one for Matt Eberflus. I think Eberflus will be coming back, but we know this team wants to end on a high note. They've already got the number one draft pick coming from Carolina, so I think they're willing to sacrifice a little bit of draft position with their own pick in order to get this win. However, on the other side of the ball, Jordan Love and that Green Bay Packers offense have continued to improve as the season ensues. Who do you like in this one? Can the Packers beat the Bears and also cover the 3-point spread?
Yeah, they can. This was the other game that I actually gave out on the bench on ESPN 97.5. The Packers, they're in a familiar position. You know, they had the same situation last year and they lost to the Lions, but the difference this year is they have a different guy behind center. You know me, at this stage in his career, I'm taking Jordan Love all day over Aaron Rodgers, me personally. I just think that Aaron Rodgers has been overhyped, and he's smart. That's why he's always talking. He's always in the media, because he knows that he has to keep himself relevant, because his football skills have declined. His body has declined. He's older. And I think that he was in the way of a lot of things that Matt LaFleur was trying to accomplish with that team the last couple of years, and that they would have did extremely better if they would have gave Jordan Love the run last year, I think. When they had a better team, actually. But it's okay. Jordan Love is going to really have a successful career. He has a young receiving core. They're all going to grow up together, and I think that's just going to be great to watch him, Christian Watson, the kid out of Michigan State that I always was high on. What's that kid's name? Jaden Reed. Man, those kids can play. And then he has other young receivers, Bo Melton and Malik Heath, who are stepping up. They're kids themselves, too. They're second-year players. Romeo Dobbs, they are really deep in that receiver room. They got a great connection. They love playing for him. Aaron Jones is back. He got slapped last week or punched or something after the game, so he should be motivated. I think that the Packers run away with this one. The Bears, overrated. The Bears have beaten some sorry teams. Eberflus and Fields are fighting for their jobs, but man, Fields has had a nightmare against Green Bay in his short career. He's went against them 5 times. He's 0-5. He has more interceptions than games he's played against them. He's 7 interceptions in 5 games against them, and I think that continues this week. Then he just threw a slug at Green Bay, saying it's nothing to do there. I think the Packers mow the Bears, so I'll be on the Packers -3 all day.
And if the Packers win, then this game's irrelevant. But the Seattle Seahawks would need the Packers to lose and to get a win in Arizona against the Cardinals in order to make the playoffs. Unlike the Eagles, however, I don't think the Seahawks are going to give up if they look up and they see the Packers are putting it on the Bears, because they'll have nothing to save it for. There's no playoff game coming up. So I think we're going to see full effort from both teams here. The Cardinals are not in the quarterback derby unless it's complete subterfuge, but everyone in the organization has come out in support of bringing Kyler Murray back next season. He's already under contract, and he's played well since he's returned from injury. I think this is an excellent matchup. The Seahawks are laying 3 on the road. I think both teams are motivated here. I wouldn't count out the Cardinals here. What do you think?
You know how high I am on Kyler Murray. I laugh at every talking head or critic that says that Kyler Murray is in a one and that, you know, he sucks and all this. Man, Kyler Murray has showed you what he can do when he's with the right type of situation. He went through the same things that he's going through with Arizona that he, you know, in college. That's why he transferred from Texas A&M. He signed to go over there and play, and they didn't have their stuff together, man. They were really unorganized, loose culture. He didn't like it because he came up with a dad who could have been a NFL quarterback if not for the times that he grew up in, where, you know, it was really racist at the time. They weren't drafting black quarterbacks, but his dad, Kevin Murray, was actually the top passer at Texas A&M passing yards-wise forever. You know, he held all types of passing records at A&M, and he came out early because he knew he should have been drafted, but he wasn't. But he taught his son how to play quarterback from a child. He's also a quarterback guru and teaches other quarterbacks. So Kyler Murray understands the game. You could play game systems and have fun on the side, man, and still be a great player. These guys do whatever they want off the field. But on the field, Kyler Murray is one of the top quarterbacks that you're going to find. And as I said, he was groomed to be that way. He transferred to Oklahoma in college, and you saw what happened. He was a Heisman winner because he was under someone who knew what they were doing and drew up a good game plan for him, and he respected the culture. I think he has that now with Gannon. Cliff Kingsbury was a clown. Cliff Kingsbury, he made Mahomes look terrible. Mahomes was not good at Texas Tech because Cliff Kingsbury runs a loose ship. So I think that Kyler Murray now has a coach that he can, you know, win with. Next year they're going to restock. They got some high draft picks that set up pretty well. Now they just got to put talent around him. And I think that they're going to be just fine in Arizona. This is going to be a close one, but I do like the Seahawks. The Seahawks have had a lot of success against Arizona. They've won the last 4 times they played them. Seattle is a really good team, man. They took a tough loss against a really good Steelers team last week. Do they get in the quarterback, you know, sweepstakes? Geno Smith's good, but Geno's one of those guys who you can always do better than him, and he wouldn't have a problem falling back and becoming the backup and helping groom a young guy. I think Michael Penix to Seattle would be perfect. So in this game, I'm going with the Seahawks. You know, I think that they still get it done.
Yeah, I think there's about 15 to 20 teams that Penix would fit on there.
Right.
And I used to argue with you about Kyler, but I've come around. I've seen the light, and I believe in him now as a quarterback. Let's see what they do when they finally have a good coaching staff, and they're going to replenish that team quickly with draft picks. You talked about the Texans turning things around quickly, right? Going from the number 2 overall pick last year to right now being in contention for the playoffs. Arizona's got a similar path there. albeit in a slightly tougher division. Let's go to talk about an easier division. The Jacksonville Jaguars can win the AFC South, but to do so, they're going to have to beat the Tennessee Titans. I think a lot of people are going to write off the Titans. The Titans got embarrassed last week, or they got shut out, and we don't know who's playing quarterback for them. But I'll tell you what, with Mike Vrabel at the helm, it's never an easy bet to make when you're taking a road favorite against his team. I think this Titans team's going to go all out. This week, Mike Vrabel had a very passionate speech. I loved it. You know I'm anti-tanking, and he said the same thing that I believe. He said, you don't understand how badly losing wrecks an organization. This team is going to try to win no matter what. They're catching 3.5 at home. How do you think they'll fare against the Jacksonville Jaguars coming off that embarrassing loss?
I bet that line as soon as it came out. I bet it at 5.5. It's down to 3.5 now. Just for what you said, this is all about Mike Vrabel. I don't care who's the quarterback. It doesn't matter who they put out there. That team's going to fight for him. You got C.J. Beathard is going to probably be the quarterback for Jacksonville, right, Spread? Yeah, so if Lawrence is back under center, he's not 100% himself. And how good has Lawrence been anyway this year? You know, he's been pretty mediocre. So, but the drop off to Beathard is just really bad. So I'll be on Tennessee. I actually think Tennessee pulls this game out outright. I like Tennessee on the money line, to be honest. I think that they want to go off into the offseason with a lot of momentum, you know, and they want to build some confidence with their young rookie quarterback.
If you're right there, Ray will play spoiler, and the winner of the Indianapolis-Houston Texans game would win the AFC South. The Detroit Lions have won the NFC North, yet they can still improve their playoff position slightly with the win. However, that would take a Cowboys loss for them to improve their position. The Vikings would need to defeat the Lions and have both the Packers and the Seahawks lose. So while it's not likely, the Vikings still are alive, traveling to Detroit to take on the Lions. Then right now, the Lions are favored by 3, but you can probably find a 2.5 if you shop around, because it seems as if the Vikings are taking money. Boy, if they were in a bigger market, I think the coaching decision to start Jaren Hall last week would have been met with more criticism, as that was an abject disaster.
I was just about to say that, Spread. I can't believe he did that. He did that to my money. I laid a grand on Minnesota first half last week. I was like, he's such a sharp guy. Kevin O'Connell has did everything, man. He's been the OC with the Rams. He's been a broadcast. He's seen the game from every point of view, and I'm sure after he retires from coaching, he'll be in the front office somewhere. He's a sharp dude. I really like him a lot. So that's why I trusted him with him starting Jaren Hall. I'm like, oh, he's seeing something in practice. I remember Jaren Hall from BYU, and he kind of could run around, had a great arm, throw the deep ball pretty good. He sucked. He was not ready. He was not ready for the bright lights. And to take away that team's chance to go to the playoffs has to be questioned, because Nick Mullins should have got that start that game. He's a veteran. He's gritty. And he's a guy that's trying to do everything he can to get back in the league and secure a spot. He should have left Nick Mullins out there with those dangerous receivers that he has. And I think that they could have gave the Packers a game. That wasn't a game at all. With that said, Nick Mullins is starting this week. But he won't beat Detroit. As long as Detroit's motivated, Goff and everybody's playing, I think that the Lions win. After what happened with Dallas, I think Dan Campbell had that team focused and a want to go out on a winning note going into the offseason. What we got on the ball and parlay, Spread?
We got one more game.
Okay, my bad.
I saved it for last.
Okay,
listen. Because I need to get your thoughts on this.
Okay,
this is Sunday Night Football. The AFC East title is on the line here. And I'm surprised. Miami Dolphins earlier were catching +3 at home. Now I see +2.5. They're taking a little money. Everybody seems to be writing the Bills in. And I understand why. The Bills, this is the cleanest their injury report's been all year, especially on the defensive side on the ball. Contrast that with Miami. This is the ugliest their injury report's been all year, with multiple offensive linemen on there, Raheem Mostert and Jaylen Waddle both being out. So some of those weapons are gone. Everybody thinks this is going to be an easy Buffalo win. I haven't bet it yet, but I'm a little wary. I think the Dolphins are live here as a home underdog with the AFC East title on the line. What do you think here in this Sunday night marquee matchup?
I definitely believe that the Dolphins are live. You know what type of fan I am of Mike McDaniel. End of the day, Buffalo is on the road. People have to realize that. And I know that their past makes people say, oh, Buffalo's going to win. I was on that thought process. And then I sat back and I thought about it. And I said, okay, Josh Allen, it's a win or go home game. It's a lot of pressure. But the most pressure is going to be on their coach. We know that if their coach doesn't get it done, if they don't make the playoffs, he's most likely out of there this year. So now it boils down, is the team going to fight for him and play for him? Buffalo's a very talented team. They're hot and rolling into this game. If they can get pressure on Tua, we've seen Tua will fold. So, though it's hard and though I know the public going to be rolling with him, I kind of stay with my first thought process on that and go with Josh Allen to pull this one out. I just have never seen the Dolphins win in these type of situations. Even though Mike McDaniel puts them in great situations and great positions, it seems like they always come up short in these type of matches. The only game I can remember them winning like this in the last two seasons is against Dallas a couple weeks ago, and that one was a barn burner that went right down to the end. They only won by 1 point. So I just think that Buffalo is a hot team, and if you're not betting Baltimore to come out the AFC, you probably want to look at Buffalo and Cleveland. Those would be my next 2 and 3 seeds to go to the Super Bowl. So I got to trust my intuition on that one and go with Buffalo.
And what a win it would be if Buffalo were able to wrest that AFC title from Miami's grasp after it seemed like Miami was the clear-cut favorite to be the number 2 seed in the AFC.
Yes, it would. It would. What we got on the ball in parlay?
All right, Five-Star. So we just broke down every game with playoff implications. But my best bet for the week is a meaningless game. But I'm going to take the New England Patriots over the New York Jets. You know what? I'm going to continue to ride the streak. Some people will say they're due. I say no. I'm going to ride that streak because the streak can only end once. And right now, the current streak is the Patriots have beat the Jets 15 straight times. People will talk about draft position, but we don't even know if Belichick's going to be back. So what better way to stick it to now two organizations that he's had beef with? If he wants to stick it to the Patriots, gives them a win on the way out, and we know that he's been sticking it to the Jets for the last 20 years since whatever happened when he was supposed to be their coach before he took over for New England. So I know people are going to laugh that I chose one of the games with no playoff implications, but I think this is the easiest bet on the board. Give me the New England Patriots to potentially send Bill Belichick out with a win on his last game coaching the team.
Yeah, I like that a whole lot, Spread. As you said, you got to remember that Bill Belichick holds grudges like no one else. So he has not forgotten. You said the Jets haven't beaten in 15 years. I mean, excuse me, the last 15 attempts. And also, he'd love to pull a Lovie Smith. We'll see if it works out for the Patriots like it works for the Texans, where you win when you shouldn't at the last game of the season. What you got for your ball and parlay, Cino?
All right, Five-Star, this one ain't rocket science. We're going to keep it real, real simple. I've been hollering and screaming this team all season. The Wolverines, man, that's who I'm rolling with. -4.5, Jim and JJ, they're going to throw the trophy up at the end of the day.
The only thing they're going to be throwing in is the towel. Hey, man, I keep telling you, man, Robert Greene's number one rule, never outshine who? Okay, the master. So this time we are going head up. So choose a side, Wagering World. You ride with my little brother with Michigan, or you ride with me and Michael Penix Jr. and Caleb DeBoer and the mighty Huskies from the Northwest. You think there's a story with Michigan and Jim Harbaugh going out on top? I think it's a story with the last year of the Pac-12 finally gets its long-awaited national championship. They haven't sniffed it since they started the playoffs, and I think it's going to be just, you know, how life works, where the year that they lose the conference is the year that they lift the trophy. I'm going to go with the best team all season long, who's played the toughest schedule, played the tougher competition. You know, I'm on Washington +4.5, and I'll be on the money line. I think that the Huskies lift the title in Houston, Texas. Hey, man, week 17, 17. Man, we almost through a whole season of football. One more week of the NFL, and then it's on to the playoffs. Hey, man, I've been heating up. It's time to get on one of those runs like 2021 where I went 13-0 against the spread in the playoffs, and I'm looking forward to all of us doing really well this year. Happy New Year to you all. May you all have a prosperous 2024. As always, this show is dedicated to the greatest Houston fan that I ever know to walk the earth, and that's my father, John H. Lindsay. Boy, I know he'd be proud of the Houston Texans right now, CJ Stroud, man. But I know he's smiling down. I do this for you, Dad. Hey, you guys, catch us next week. Next Friday's all gas, no brakes. Hey, man, NFL playoffs are here. This is the Wagering World.
I'm gonna bet it. They might eat me up when I'm driving. And I swear, it's a short night of rave. I was tripping, you was tripping, who the pilot? They might beat me up while I'm driving. And I swear, it's a short night of rave. And I had a nightmare last night that I wasn't counting up. We had too many. I had to round them up. Like I had too many in my face, I had to cut them off. I've been focused on my 101.